This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, so we got three games last night. Kind of a mixed bag. You had a thrill-o-matic last night. Great comeback, incredible game-winning shot.
Thrill-o-matic.
Right, that's what it was. You had the blowout in the middle.
What's a thrill-o-matic?
Just made it up. It's a thrill-o-matic.
I know, it's good. I like it. Thrill-o-matic, yeah.
You can use it. Good. Feel free to use anything. Yeah. I don't care. The middle part was a total blowout, right, which was not a surprise.
Yeah.
Duke looked the part. 15 threes, rocking and rolling. The first game was anybody's game with 3 minutes to go. So day one of the ACC tournament gave you a little bit of everything, right? It gave you drama. It gave you the blowout. It gave you some great individual performances, an unbelievable game winner, incredible comeback. I'm stoked for game two. I mean, day two, game one in particular. I think the first one is going to be out of sight, which we'll get to. But last night, Wes, Notre Dame gave you that Jekyll and Hyde thing, right? I mean, for 25 minutes, it looked like, let's get out of here. What else? Let's grab a sandwich from Stamey's and go on home. And then all of a sudden, let's go play some defense, make some stops. 17-2 close for the Irish to win that game last night. Crazy win for them.
Yeah, and they draw Carolina as a result. But the way the game transpired, first of all, Wake Forest was there. The Deacons are going to be very disappointed this morning at the end of the run. I mean, Notre Dame, you see the 17-2 run, but Wake Forest played well. And Steve Forbes, as we said at the top of the show, deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the way the Deacons delivered. The idea here, though, is what Notre Dame did do. Yeah, Juwan Durham played well. The Irish got stops. Prentice Hubb, certainly. But Notre Dame needed a moment, and they got the moment, Pack. There's no doubt they got the moment. They got the stop on Cormac Ryan on Davion Williamson, and then Trey Wirtz's shot is the delivery. Here's the stop. It's a great play by Ryan, who, by the way, is not noted for his defense. And then look at the dump. Oh, man. This is Chris Jenkins, isn't it? Chris Jenkins in Villanova.
I watched it last night, the first thought in my head was that was the Villanova North Carolina National Championship ball game. And as soon as it left his hands, you know, Wirtz said last night after the game, you know what? I knew it was good as soon as it left my hand. He knew it was in.
Yeah.
But defense won the game for Notre Dame down the street. Defense won it. Yeah, they had to make shots.
But
it all got started because they made some stops on Wake, and the Deacs went about 5 or 6 minutes, couldn't make a basket.
Well, and let me say this too, a quick moment. Trey Wirtz transferred from Santa Clara. He's a guy who got caught up in the transfer and somehow didn't get the waiver. And then when the NCAA rubber stamped everybody, then Trey Wirtz got to play. And it was remember we talked about this in November. Kid from Charlotte. Dad's a longtime newspaper writer in the Charlotte area. He's covered basketball for a long time, a lot of different levels. This is kind of like what we were talking about with Cam Hayes the other day, right, Pack? You're going to play in your first ACC tournament, Cam. Well, here's Trey Wirtz in his first ACC tournament. He grew up his life watching this event on TV and now gets to hit a shot for Notre Dame in his first game. Good for him and a nice moment for Notre Dame along the way.
No question. And the flip side for Wake, that one will sting. But I'll say this again. Mm-hmm. The one thing I think we saw in year one of Coach Forbes is that their kids are buying into what he's selling. We saw Wake Forest at least a dozen times this year play teams that were more talented than them with 7 minutes to go. They got a chance. Now, they're going to have to learn how to win. And you saw that last night. That takes time, right? And I'm sure that's going to be one thing that Coach Forbes is going to preach over and over and over in the offseason is, hey, this is part of the process. This is part of, hey, we set the foundation, which I think has been set. Now we learn how to win. We're going to get better players, better talent. They'll go out and recruit. But being able to overcome those kind of scenarios that, hey, well, 5 minutes, we're not going to panic. We're going to go execute and win some games. If I'm a Wake Forest fan today, bummed out about last night for sure, because that's a game you got to figure you're going to win that thing. That 17-2 run was a killer. But I think the future's bright in Winston-Salem. I kind of like what Forbes is selling. And the fact that they were as competitive as they were this season, forget about wins and losses for the second. Just the eye test tells you that Wake Forest is buying in to Coach Forbes. So again, bummer about last night, but big picture, I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on it. I think that, you know, disappointing for sure, tough way to end the season. But at the same time, man, did they do a lot of good things this year. Notre Dame meets North Carolina. That will be the fourth game of the night from Greensboro on ACC Network. All right, let's go to Mike Bray, who was quick to remind everybody Greensboro's been pretty good to the old Fighting Irish.
Jack Nicholson.
What we do in the ACC tournament is kind of amazing, quite frankly, for somebody who's been in here 8 years. That's 11 tournament game wins in 8 years. That probably shouldn't happen for a newcomer. And if you look at the records of people through the years, even some of the original members, you know, it's, but I think we kind of feel we should play well in this thing, and in, and especially in this building, because I think that's 5-1 in this building now. And it's a great win for us, no matter who you play. I mean, any way you can get to the next round in a tournament atmosphere, which we have shown, if you can win the first one, which we've done many times in the ACC, it just kind of gives you hope.
5 in a row for the Irish in Greensboro. Here comes North Carolina. And don't know from a matchup standpoint if that's a good thing. But, Wes, they did play once earlier this season. It was a one-point game in Chapel Hill. So we'll roll it out there for game four tonight. Should be good.
Mike Bray, by the way, talking about 11 wins. Let me offer you this. Only Duke and North Carolina have a better winning percentage than Notre Dame at the ACC tournament. Now, granted, those two schools have been there a long time. Notre Dame has not, but he's right. 11-5 in this event in 8 years, pretty good.
Tell you what else is pretty good is the fact that a team like Miami is 10-6 in Greensboro. Just saying. Just saying. There's some teams that feel comfortable in GSO. So, and they're all playing today. And they're both going to be underdogs.
Miami and Clemson.
Yeah, they're both going to be underdogs. Just
let me tell you what, Clemson and Greensboro are not so good.
Nope. Not good at
all. Not so good. Not good at all. Yeah, 8-26.
All started because of Billy Packer. I'm telling you, 1962, it was because of Billy. If my Tigers would have won that coming up in 62, it all changes, Wes. All changes.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Duke beat Boston College 86-51. Huge win for the Blue Devils. Ties for its second largest margin of victory at the ACC tournament. It is one of the bigger first-round victories of all time. Blue Devils got season-high 15 threes in the game. They were 15-32 from three, and I'll just say this. You can tell me they're off the bubble, they're out of sight, they're out of mind. If they hit 15 threes today, they will beat Louisville. I mean, I'm just telling you, if they hit 15 today, they will beat Louisville. And then we will continue the Duke discussion. Now, did we see Carolina unloaded a year ago on Virginia Tech, win going away, and then the next night flounder against Syracuse? Yes, we did. Is that possible today too? Absolutely. I think this is a fascinating game. Packers tagged Syracuse NC State is the most interesting. I'll throw Duke Louisville at you simply because of the way the two teams are branded. And they played the overtime game in Durham. It was a fascinating game. I'm interested to see how this one falls today at the Coliseum in Greensboro. But the Blue Devils looked the part yesterday, and I mean big time looked the part.
Yeah, but I'm gonna temper that a little bit. You know, Boston College, and take this the right way if you're a BC fan. I'm glad their year's done. I don't know if there's another team in the country between COVID, losing your coach, a miserable year in terms of just finding wins, even though somehow they beat Notre Dame, and that I've said that I thought was awesome because at least kids got a chance to enjoy a W. It needed to end for BC. I know that sounds cold and harsh, but I think they've been through the ringer. I mean, between the isolation, as hard as this season's been for every student athlete, sometimes you just kind of get to the end and you're like, hey, can we just kind of take a step back and let everybody else go on down the road? I kind of feel that way with BC. And that game yesterday, I know it was taking place during the radio show, but I kept looking at the score. And I saw highlights afterwards. It just looked like Duke, after what they gave me on Saturday in Chapel Hill, I expected them to play better. Right. And for BC, that game didn't surprise me at all, Wes. At the end of the day, that you know, that final could have been a 20-point game, 18-point game, 35, whatever. But you know what? Tonight at 6:30, it's go time. And that's a big deal because Louisville beat them twice. And both of them could have gone the other way. But Louisville, Duke will be a big-time game tonight at 6:30. Right here on the network.
Third game yesterday, Miami a winner over Pittsburgh. That means that the Canes will draw Clemson. Tigers won both regular season games. They were both closer. It was a really tight fit at Coral Gables. And then Clemson pulled away late to win the ball game at Little John in the most recent encounter. But we will we'll see the Tigers take the floor today against Miami. And Jim Larrañaga is going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We've been talking about ACC tournament memories for everybody. Yesterday we started with NC State. Why did we do that? Because 47 years to the day, the greatest ACC basketball game that's ever been played took place. It was NC State in Maryland, 103-100 overtime in the Greensboro Coliseum. And front and center, one of the focal points of, again, as a childhood fan of NC State, this was the dude, big man inside. Wes, let's do it. Tommy Burleson joins us right here on Packer and Durham. Tommy, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning from Avery County. It's a beautiful day, sun shining, and all's well. Yes.
And I tell you what, every day above ground's a beautiful day. hey, as you know about this, you know what? The ACC tournament gets cranked up, and in the state of North Carolina, man, that's like holy days, isn't it? I mean, it just doesn't get any better than the ACC tournament in North Carolina.
It's definitely a national holiday, yeah. We look at it as a holiday time, yes.
Hey, Tommy, when this gets brought up, I mean, yesterday, I mean, Mark and I were fortunate and blessed enough to grow up around this, so we know the value of the 74 game and the impact it had, but all these years removed, it's amazing how many people still want to talk about it. I'm just curious, how often does the 74 game come up to you?
Well, of course, I'm blessed here in Avery County. Everybody's we beat it to death. We beat that dead horse to death. But, you know, when I get out in North Carolina or in the South somewhere, you know, some people bring it up. And, again, the significance of the game was that the NCAA, it opened their eyes that they realized that they needed to expand the field of teams into the tournament. And, you know, the first year, I think it was 25 when we were. Then they went to, I think it was just like 32 to the 48, 48 to, you know, the 62, 64 and all that kind of thing. But they realized that it was. And I hate to use this term, but it's a cash cow. You know, I mean, with the national television. At NC State, we were one of the first teams. We had 13 nationally televised games. And before the 72-73, 73-74 season, NC State had never had a nationally televised game. So we were at a time, I call it second-generation basketball, where, you know, it was an inside-out game, a transition game. I felt it was, you know, brought on by Boston, you know, Red Auerbach, you know, who really changed the game in intense defense and transition.
Tommy, do you remember the first time you met David Thompson and first time you saw him on the floor? And if so, what was the experience?
Well, David and I played in the same high school conference. He's in the Southern Division, and I was in the Northern Division. And he watched me play against Kings Mountain, the team that had beat him. Otis Cole, who ended up at Florida State. We had a – see, that's going to be – that will be an interesting chapter in my book, because you're talking about a independent high school conference, which was independent of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, that only had one division, 3A, and it was really geared toward basketball. And Artis Gilmore brothers, his brothers Thomas and Earl was playing at Marion, at McDowell, David Thompson, Tony Byers at Forest City. It was James Powell, of course, was there at Freedom. It was an unbelievable basketball conference. And of course, when I left Avery County, we went back from that we dropped out of that 3A and went back to 1A, where we should have been all along. So a guy named Carol Franklin put this together, and it was pretty much amazing to think that you can create your own high school conference. But then again, it was 1968, and things were like wide open. But, David watched me, and he said, "I'd love to play with that big guy." I hit the last shot with, like, 4 seconds to go to beat Kings Mountain and, to propel us on into we won the regionals, and that put us in the Final Four. But then we got to play together, and David and I, we just bonded real quick, and from there our friendship grew.
You know, Tommy, it's interesting because the 73-74 season, and I don't think I'm letting the cat out of the bag here a little bit, that when you guys beat Maryland in the ACC championship game that night in Greensboro, there was some sense that you were going to win the national title, and ironically, it was in Greensboro 2 weeks later. So that sense of accomplishment that night against Maryland, I know through the years Coach Sloan even said it before he passed away, that in many ways you may have won the national championship that night. Certainly you had to beat Pittsburgh in the regional final at Reynolds, and then you had to beat UCLA, and everybody remembers what a great game that was in the rematch with Marquette on Monday night. But did you feel like when you beat Maryland you were going to win the national title?
Well, that was our goal, and we felt that that was our destiny. It's hard to explain. I use the symbolism of drawing the sword through the forge or through the furnace, and the flames and the heat temper the steel and burn out the impurities. And the 72-73 season is what that did for us. It got us focused. We wanted to make sure that 72-73 that people, that we got their attentions. And going 27-0 got everybody's attention. Still, it's the last ACC team undefeated. We're the last team to go two regular seasons undefeated in conference and tournament. The field was not as big, but then again, we were playing against Carolina. The 72-73 season, they only had George Karl, Dennis Wysick, Bobby Jones. I mean, they were ranked in the top seven or eight of the nation at that time. I saw George the other day, and he said, "You ruined my senior year." And I'm going like, okay. But, we ended up, ask George about that one. And we were able to beat Carolina. And, of course, Maryland had that tremendous team with McMillan, Elmore, and John Lucas and all those guys, Mo Howard. And, of course, they were like the third or fourth best team, Carolina's seventh. And, of course, our road was not a back door. We beat Providence with Marvin Barnes and Kevin Stakem. They were in the top, they were in the, top six. We meet Marquette with Maurice Lucas and Bo Ellis. We beat UCLA, which there's a documentary out there where John Wooden says that's the greatest, best team he ever coached as a team. Now, when he talks about players, he talks about Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the greatest player he ever coached. And, we didn't take a back door. And our focus was to win. And I truly believe, and I'm getting cold chills now, that we were a team of destiny, that God put that team together. I mean, I showed up on NC State's door, through FFA and 4-H, and Charlie Bryant took me in and introduced me to Coach Sloan. And I said, I want to come play for you. Well, he sort of looked around, and then all of a sudden, I'm the number two high school player in the nation. I had a lot of good press, and of course, it was Tom McMillan, myself, and Bill Walton, the top three players, and that came out of basketball news. You get different scenarios from different publications and stuff like that. But I played in the National All-Star Game. I was banned from the North Carolina All-Star game because, you know, you was only allowed one postseason tournament, a high school tournament like that, and now you can play in a bunch of them. I mean, we were in a transition time, and the game against Maryland, I mean, double overtime, you know, and all that kind of good stuff, and both teams shot over 50%, very few turnovers, and their game, I mean, their game was high. And they'd only lost to UCLA by 1 point there at Pauley Pavilion. But UCLA had a tremendous team. I mean, that was a team not to be beat with Bill Walton, Jamal Wilkes, David Myers, Tommy Curtis, Richard Washington, Marcus Johnson, all those guys. I mean, we were a team of destiny, and I truly believe God put us together. We didn't have to leave more than, you know, we went from Greensboro to Raleigh, back to Greensboro, and we were national champions. The first time the tournament was ever played in North Carolina, God had us ready.
Tommy, before we let you go, what about this NC State team and what Kevin Keats is doing right now in Raleigh? What's your impressions based on where this program is headed?
I am very, very encouraged. That'll be an interesting chapter in my book when I start evaluating programs and stuff. But Coach Keats we have a young team, and we only have 3 seniors or something like that. But they're playing really, I think, the best team ball they've played all year, and Coach Keats is just a superb defensive coach. I love to watch his defenses, the man-to-mans, three-quarter court presses, the full-court presses, the half-court, you know, and the team we have now with the young guys, Sebron and Hayes and Moore and Manny Bates. I mean, they're young, and they move the ball very well, and I like to watch them on defense. They've really matured this year a lot, and then as I look at the players he's having to come in, I think he has first time we've had a 5-star, I guess, since Dennis Smith. He has a 5-star coming out of Florida that's a great player. So I'm just really encouraged about what they're doing. Again, it's about maturity and learning the game. But I'm excited. And then I'm going to throw this in, as our girls team, I think they're pretty much like us. I believe you have to lose one to win one. And they lost it last year, and now their focus is much like our focus in 74, that, you know, that they've set their mind on this goal, and you learn from your mistakes, and you learn from your experiences. But I think Coach, and he sort of hit off the wall there a little bit, but I think Coach Keach is doing an excellent job. I'm very very excited about Boo Kerrigan, Corrigan being you know, our athletic director, because it starts from the administration down, and I'm really tickled to death with the direction we're going.
Well, I'll tell you this, it's a real treat for us to have you on the show here on ACC Network. Tell everybody up on the mountain hello. I know they probably don't have tee times going yet at Mountain Glen, but I know you're up there in a wonderful part of the world, and I know your hometown means a lot to you, and you've done great service to your community. Tell everybody hello up there.
Well, I've got tee time in Bristol, Tennessee, so it's all right. It all works out. I love your father, Woody. He was just a class act, and of course, you know, I worked for Hugh Morton back in the day. Their grandfather, and they thought they had an in-roll on me at Carolina, and I went to Carolina's basketball camp for a couple of years, of course, my man, Coach Guthridge, worked with me, and he'd always, you know, about boxing out, and a lot of my fundamentals came from him, I'd always look at him and say, good golf job, Coach, and he'd just sit there and grit his teeth. But Coach Guthridge was an awesome guy. Yeah. Your dad was, a first class. Billy Packer and I have played in a bunch of tournaments, and, of course, he's been up here in the mountains and, hitting the links a lot of times with us and stuff like that. But it's all about good memories, it's great to see those young people go forward, and I appreciate you guys talking to me.
Thank you, Tommy.
Oh, Our pleasure, Tommy. Thank you. Tommy Burleson, the most outstanding player of the 1974 ACC tournament and the hero, really, from one of the greatest games ever played in college basketball history.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. That was a pleasure having Tommy Burleson on, man. Reliving some great childhood memories of Tommy Burleson now. Pack is back. That team now was nasty. That was nasty.
Tim Stoddard. Come on, give me some Tim Stoddard. Later pitched in the bigs
Baltimore
for the Orioles.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Yeah.
Mark Mulder.
Norm Sloan sitting there with Sam Esposito on the bench wearing the plaid coat.
Yes, sir.
Come on, man.
Good old days.
There you go.
All right, let's go to our next guest.
You know who remembers those days?
Our next guest.
Larinaga.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bet he does.
Survive in advance.
There he is. Oh, wait. Well, you got to win. Got to win. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Got to win. You know what? You know how good we are on game day, Jim? You want to know how good we are on game day? Tell them our record on game day, Pack.
Coach, we tell folks all the time, if you can find time on game day to join us, man, the record is almost spotless. Spotless. So I'm just saying. I'm not saying we're good luck charm or anything, but it's so far so good. And by the way, go ahead.
I was going to say, your last guest, Tommy Burleson, played in the very first Final Four I attended in Greensboro. I sat underneath the basket in row one to watch NC State beat UCLA and Marquette.
That was a special group.
No, not Marquette.
In the championship.
Kansas? Who was it?
No, they beat Marquette in the championship.
It was UCLA, Marquette in a championship game.
Yeah.
They beat UCLA in the semifinals, and Ted Owens had Roger Morningstar and Kansas in the other semifinal game against Marquette that day in Greensboro.
Yep.
Davidson College, where I was an assistant coach in 74, had an exhibition game against Wake Forest, and they set the baskets at 11 feet.
Why? Wait. Oh, we didn't lose him, did we? Oh, we didn't lose Coach, did we?
Coach went frozen on us.
Oh, no.
He went frozen on us. We'll get him back.
Oh, we lost Coach.
We'll get him back. We got to hear the story.
We're getting ready to find out why the baskets were 11 feet. Oh. Oh. Unbelievable. Row one. That just shows you. Huh? What about that? Row one under the basket in Greensboro?
Row one,
that's
seat
one. That's a great
one.
Seat.
Can you imagine that? Row one, seat one for UCLA, NC State, semi in Greensboro.
That's a great seat.
What would that ticket be worth? Of course, back then, probably
$35.
$35 back then, which is a lot of money. Well, we'll get Larinaga back on here. Because he just told us
how good the record was.
Yeah,
and everything.
I mean you got to follow up. I mean, you know, it's like you know,
all right.
If that game would have stopped yesterday with 4 minutes to go, you don't win. But you know, you got to follow through. All right, we got Coach back
all right,
here.
Go ahead.
All right, Jim, you froze up on us. Why were the goals set at 11 feet?
Well, you know, the NCAA is always experimenting with new rules. And so they decided that the big man was too much of a factor. So they moved the baskets to 11 feet so they couldn't just dunk the ball every time near the goal, you know. But what ends up happening then, the big guys become more of a factor because you're going to want to get it near the basket.
Right.
That's what led 12 years later to the three-point shot. Dr. Ed Stites, who was in charge of the Basketball Rules Committee, he decided that, oh boy, disconnected again?
No, you're on.
No,
you're good.
You're good.
You're good.
You're good. We got you.
We got you.
We got you. Maybe we got him. maybe we don't. We tried. We walked that wire again, didn't we?
I love live TV.
We'll get him back on the phone.
I got to be honest with you. Maybe I'm the only one. I love it when things go haywire. I know the smart people in Bristol are going bonkers, but I love it when live television goes sideways and gets completely whacked out. I think it's the best. I think it's the best. Oh, man. But we'll get Coach back on here one way or the other because we have questions asked.
All right.
Right? We need yeah. some answers before we get the tip-off here at noon.
Well, because you got a very important segment coming up. Very important.
Oh, we got to do our picks today again, don't we? Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I got to figure those out pretty quick here.
So anyway, how about Dr. Ed Seitz? I hadn't heard that name in years, by the way.
I haven't either.
And he was the guy who was in charge of the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Rules Committee. And remember, they brought the dunk back not long after 74 either, Pac.
Yeah, because
they brought the dunk back, I think, 76. Was that right? Two years later?
I was going to say, because I remember, again, as a knucklehead kid, being a huge NC State fan, and here's David Thompson in his 43-inch vertical, but you couldn't dunk it. But his last basket at Reynolds was a slam dunk, and the place went bonkers. So, yeah.
Things
changed just a little bit.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go phone with Coach Larinaga, right? Because this FaceTime isn't quite working out too hot. All right, Coach, we got you back. By the way, I've got a great theory I want to run by you and see if this works for you. You still on with us?
Yep.
Okay, let me give you the theory. You are 4-0 in first-round games of the ACC tournament. I think you walk in today with your team, and the first thing you walk up and write on the board is, we play Clemson, and it's the first round of the ACC tournament. That's the first thing I would do. I would just emphasize first round, first round, first round, because nobody's touched you in the tournament.
All right, so what's the theory?
The theory is, it's a mindset, Coach. It's a mindset. Man, everybody's relaxed. First round of the tournament, your guys are good, and you just roll out there. It doesn't matter who you're playing, you win.
No, that's not my mindset. My mindset is we're on a roll. We've won two in a row.
There you go.
We haven't won two in a row since, December. So we feel good about ourselves. We had lots of energy in our last several games. The guys are upbeat. They're playing hard. We had five guys in double figures yesterday. For the first time all season. And in the last two games, we scored 79 and 80 points. So this team is just hitting its stride right at the right time.
Coach, what about, and again, I just think he's been fantastic all year. I really have been taken back by just how good Isaiah Wong has been this year against really some odds, because I know with not having Chris there and then certainly losing Harlan Beverly along the way, Isaiah Wong has just really gone next level for you. I think he's been fantastic.
I do, too. I know he did not win the Most Improved Player Award, but in my mind, he was the Most Improved Player. There were several guys that I knew were in contention. But the way I look at it is Isaiah is a natural two-guard, and he played the two-guard position most of the season. But then he also has to move over to the one. Like right now, he starts at the point guard position. He's handled both responsibilities extremely well. He's what I call a steady Eddie kind of personality. He doesn't have ups and downs. He's very, very steady, very, very consistent in his physical, mental, and emotional state. You know, physically, he gives you a great effort. Mentally, he's very, very focused on executing the game plan. And emotionally, he doesn't have the ups and downs that a lot of players do. And his effort in practice is exactly the same way. He's certainly one of the best players in the ACC. I wasn't surprised that he made third team, but I thought he could easily have been first team or second team.
Well, I know this much. You're fortunate to have him on your team because he could play for anybody in this league, and that is a fact. You get Clemson for the third time, Coach, and I know you went 0-2 in the regular season, but really both games were winnable games. And I'm sure the mindset is, hey, a couple plays here or there, and that would have been a pair of W's. So with that said, what's the mindset going into this game scouting Clemson moving forward?
Well, we just played them not long ago, and the game plan will probably remain exactly the same. It's just about the execution of the game plan. We had one bad stretch in the first half. We were up 19-12, and the next five times down the court, we took an early three and didn't make any of them. We were 0-for-5, five straight possessions, which gave Clemson a chance not only to come back, but take the lead on us and have a lead at halftime. So we just have to be a little bit smarter in our execution and in our shot selection at one end. But our main concern, well, there's really two. Amir Sims, just a great player. Can score inside, can nail threes. He's a good free throw shooter. He's a very good screener. He's a terrific rebounder. He's a very, very hard matchup for us. We don't have any one or two guys that can guard him. When we played him the first time, Nasir Brooks started on him. Then we put Earl Timberlake on him. Then we put Elijah Olajani on him. And it was just a very tough matchup for every one of our guys. The other thing is Clemson's an outstanding three-point shooting team, and we've not defended the three very well all season. So those will be two things I'll be looking very, very closely at.
We just mentioned Tommy Burleson. You were telling us about the 74 tournament, and you sat on the inline to watch State UCLA under the basket. When you come back in this building, what kind of memories does it generate for you, Jim?
Well, the first memory is not of Burleson and David Thompson and Monty Tau. It's of our Miami team winning the championship and cutting down the nets with Shane Larkin hugging Chris Caputo and Duran Scott, Trey McKinney Jones, Julian Gamble, Reggie Johnson, who lives, you know, not far from here in Winston. So that was a great memory for me. It will always be every time I come into the Greensboro Coliseum.
I'll just say one more thing. You should have good memories because since you've been running the show at Miami, you're 10-6 in the Greensboro Coliseum. I'll leave you with a positive vibe right there.
Yeah, that's good. I like to be 11-6.
That's the game plan. That's the game plan.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Williamson driving on Ryan. Williamson runner. Blocked by Ryan. Here comes Cormac Ryan over the midcourt stripe. Back to Wirtz for three. Got it! The Irish win! The Irish win! 80-77. The Irish live to play again. And I get to say got it again tomorrow night.
That was Sam Kennison on the call.
No, it wasn't. No. Why do you want to do that?
That's so great.
That was Jack Nolan, the legendary voice of the Fighting Irish, who's retiring after 39 years as their basketball voice. Trey Wirtz hits the shot. Great win for Notre Dame, and Jack gets to roll again tonight. Come on, man.
That's awesome.
Come on.
I love it when play-by-play guys lose their minds. It's so fantastic.
I'm guilty of that. I'm going to let that go.
I'm not being critical. I think it's fantastic. I can listen to it all day. All right, we got to make picks.
By the way, I figured it out. I figured it out. You moved the Wake Forest basketball today, didn't you?
I did. The Wake Forest basketball moved its position. It did.
Figured it out.
It did.
Yeah. A
couple other basketballs moved too yesterday.
The big Wake basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something moves every single day.
Somebody's looking at you, Pac.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's looking at you. They've been looking at you the whole show.
No, it's Chester and Fuller because they know it's almost time to go outside. That's why. All right. We got to make picks.
All right.
You ready to roll?
All right. Let's go. Let's go. Sure. Let's go.
All right, here's what happened yesterday.
Let's get the leaderboard.
Oh, God.
Oh, look at that. Oh, I went, by the way, Steve Forbes, if you're watching, Steve Forbes, you would have been the Deeks, Screaming Deacons, Sneaky Deacons. would have been the flip for me. I would be leading this parade, walking out of here with the lead.
Yeah, well,
Trey Wirtz.
Well,
screaming first, Deacons.
First of all, you know, it's like playing the Masters. You know, you can lose the tournament on Thursday, but you don't win it on Thursday, right? So, again, well, we got goofy.
We were all very
today.
Good about not, and we were also good at not telling Larinaga that none of us picked Miami. So there we go. All right, we move on, right?
And for the record, though, I think I pointed out yesterday when I saw all three of us pick Pitt, I said that's great news for Miami. And lo and behold.
Yeah, you did.
That would be true.
That was right. Okay. You ready?
It. Yes, sir.
Noon. Wolfpack Orange.
This is the best. I think this is the best game of the day. I am torn on this. I flipped the coin 17 times. But you know what? 9 times it landed orange. The voice of victory, Josh Macri. If it doesn't work, I'm blaming you. Syracuse, but I'm not confident about it.
Okay. Me?
I'd be you.
Well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. I'm taking the NC State Wolfpack.
All right.
What's taking BPI? The Wolfpack.
All right. What's BPI do here? They're never
51.9%
wrong.
51.9% for the BPI.
So they stay Syracuse. That's good news for the Wolfpack. That's excellent news all for right. NC State. All right, next game.
Clemson-Miami's next. Third time for Clemson-Miami. I know where you're going. You're flying the flag, aren't you?
Well, I think Clemson's going to win. And Jim Larinaga did not like my theory of just writing for first round. And he didn't like that theory, so I'm going Clemson.
All right. I'm also going to take the Tigers. I'm taking the Tigers. And BPI at 85.3% is also taking the Tigers.
You know what? That's a good sign for Miami. Just like yesterday.
All right. Duke, or as Bobby Crimmin says, Duke and Louisville. Duke and Louisville.
Surprise, surprise. Duke wins this game.
I'm taking the Ville. I'm going to take Chris Mack and the Cards. BPI at 64% takes Duke.
Wow, that high, huh? That's, again, Chris Mack, Louisville, Commonwealth will love those picks. Excellent.
Nightcap, scheduled to start at 9. Good luck that.
No.
Notre Dame, North Carolina.
Jack Nicholson will not go back-to-back. I like the heels.
Okay. Pack takes the heels. I'm going to take Carolina, and BPI at 70.6% is taking Carolina.
All right, there you go.
Boy, there we have it.
I will lose some sleep with those tonight, I can assure you. Hey, by the way, before we get out of here, a shout-out to my former roommate, Larry Penley, golf coach, Clemson University. Yesterday, his 80th win as a coach. For the Clemson Tigers.
Wow.
Palmetto Intercollegiate.
Congratulations, Coach Penley.
6-4 the other day. So, Larry Penley, thinking of you, my man. We're going to retire here shortly. And, boy, another W for Larry Penley. Number 80 for my man, LP.
He's going to come co-host the show when he retires. He just doesn't know it yet.
Got a chair waiting here for him.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.